But they were talking about the national championship game being on TBS, not CBS. They moved it to cable?
Oh, yeah, cable.
Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, cable still, it seems pretty hot for sports for some reason. Because I'm always surprised at some of the, you know, national games that get played on the networks like that, you know, the cable networks.
But it's like, isn't the national championship for football, isn't that on ABC? Or is that ESPN only?
I think it's ESPN.
That's crazy to me, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like putting like the Super Bowl on Fox Sports 1. You know? Or Peacock, for that matter. It's just a weird decision. Like, especially knowing the amount of money that CBS has paid for these. I mean, you're talking billions of dollars, and you're putting it on TBS? Like, why?
Yeah, well, and I guess, I don't think I changed the station at all, but it was on the lead up to the Frozen Four is on right now, so I'm watching Notre Dame in North Dakota, actually.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's on ESPNU. I think maybe Kent was on ESPNU or something last week, so that's probably why I have it on.
Yeah, well, no. Yeah, I guess it would have been an NIT game. Did they make the NIT?
They made the collegeinsider.com postseason tournament. I'm like, oh my god, whoa. There's something even lower than the NIT now? And yes. That was kind of, like, I was a little bit surprised. I knew that Dayton got in as a number one seed because my father-in-law was all up in arms that they didn't make it to the NCAA tournament. Which was, dude, your best player was hurt, and you didn't win your conference. So, no? I don't care how good you think they are. The Atlantic 10 is not going to get a bunch of teams in there at this time.
Yeah, I think they got, what, one team, and it was St. Joe's for the longest time? Until they shit the bed? Like, maybe Dayton would come in.
Yeah, I mean, Dayton's played, been in there a lot the last 5 to 10 years for the A-10. But yeah, I mean, they're like the MAC. They don't get more than one. Like, maybe if there's a solid case, they get two teams. Because I guess I wasn't surprised that even, I think Toledo was the best because Toledo was the best regular season team in the MAC, but they ended up going to the NIT too. That's why I was a little bit surprised. Kent made it the whole way, was second place in the league and got to the finals of the tournament. So I thought for sure, I'm like, oh, they're definitely going to the NIT. And then the wife lists off all of the teams in there because of Dayton. And I'm like, man, that is wild that Kent is not playing in there.
I'll be honest. Where the hell, I guess I can look it up. Is the NIT even on TV?
Yeah, because we did watch, they ended up, I think, yeah, they lost in the second round. It was kind of funny. Dayton ended up getting screwed. They were the number one overall seed for the NIT, but because the NCAA tournament always has their play-in games at Dayton's arena, they had to play on the road for both of their games.
Wow, yeah, that's some garbage. That's garbage.
Yeah, so I mean, there's no way around that. Yeah, if there's something for my father-in-law to complain about, that is definitely on the list. Not getting in the NCAA tournament, I don't think that's a valid one, but complaining that you didn't get to use your home court because it always is used by the NCAA tournament is a rough one.
And what a weird thing that is. Like, Dayton, hey, Dayton, you're not good enough to hold the initial opening round, but these play-in games, they're all yours. Like,
I think it's because, or at least the thing that I've heard is that it's easy for teams to fly into there. And then to get somewhere else, like it's kind of a central-ish location.
Oh. Okay. I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah, I mean, there is an airport not too far outside of town. It's to the north of Dayton. Well, whatever. No one's airport's actually in fucking town, so.
Was gonna say Cincinnati, theirs is in Kentucky, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
'Cause even
Okay.
yeah, I mean, Columbus's is outside the 270 belt near us. But yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh's northwest of town. Man, Cleveland might actually be in town.
Well, Charlotte technically is. I mean, it's just down the street from us. We're only 10 minutes from the airport, so
Oh,
what
yeah,
would
well,
like
in Vegas.
LaGuardia or JFK count?
Oh,
Because
yeah.
Detroit is not. That's Wayne County. That's not even Detroit. I
Yeah,
know that.
and nothing's as. It's hilarious that Denver's airport is even named Denver. A thing's like an hour from Denver.
Oh, is it really? I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, it's
Oh, wow.
yeah. Because I still think that we left from Aurora the second time I went there, and it still took us like 45 minutes to get there. Because
Wow, okay.
her one friend lives just outside of town in Aurora, and she took us there. And yeah, it's still a solid drive. Like yeah,
Yeah,
nothing
it's
beats
like
the.
Dallas Fort Worth.
Oh yeah,
The
there's
Dallas
that
one.
one. Oh, New Orleans was pretty far out of town when we went down for both of the WrestleManias.
It was way from downtown, but it was still around a populated area.
Oh.
Remember right.
Yeah, I don't
What's
really
the amount of bucks
remember
that
how
was?
the crowd was around that, but.
Because New Orleans is huge. Like we focus on the downtown part, but that really stretches out. They're kind of like Detroit, where it stretches a while. Because I remember, like you got off, and when you left the airport, you were almost immediately on the expressway.
Oh, yeah.
So you were right around stuff. Like Dallas, I mean, you're driving in 17 lanes of concrete trying to figure out, does anyone live here? Like, that was the weirdest one to me.
I think I
Dallas and
knew
Fort Worth, and
I
you're not
think I
even
knew
speaking a
someone
word.
was there, but just because there were a lot of driving there were a lot of drivers around.
I can't remember. Did we meet you at that airport, or did how the hell did we hook up?
I
Did you
think I
drive?
had did I have the rental car technically? Someone had a
Who rented a
rental
car to
car.
Dallas? Kevin? You
Yeah.
okay, at least said you did.
Okay.
Okay. So did you get in before us or after us then?
I think after.
All right, so we must have been waiting for you then.
Yeah. That's too
Yeah.
long ago
God damn.
for my brain to remember.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like,
It,
wait, what?
yeah, it's not important enough to remember what our travel
Yeah, because I know
arrangements
we
were
took
back
off at two
then.
different times because we took an Uber by ourselves. You had already taken off, I think. If I remember right.
Yeah, I mean, I had a longer flight too, I would imagine.
Yeah, ours was direct, so I will spend the extra money to do direct flights. I don't care.
Oh.
All the times I fly right now, but.
Oh, that yeah, that's something after we hit record that we need, or after I after the sh after I stop the record here that we'll need to talk
Yeah,
about.
Elise told me about that. So, yeah, I was going to talk to you about that. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, might as well just get into it then. So,
Yeah, I mean
we
we
talk
did our
afterwards.
basketball and hockey preamble,
Yeah.
and I s
No.
still haven't pulled up a the re yes AEW and NXT. I watched both of them last night because of how the week has gone.
Oh yeah, how you feeling? Putting that wig back on?
Nothing like starting off the other podcast talking about a colonoscopy. And yeah, I thought Raw was kind of meh for being like 2 weeks before WrestleMania, and I was glad that Chris agreed with me. There's just like, okay. Like, it was just another show.
WWE. Is it meh good? I mean, it's better than the trash show it usually is. Bless you. Dang. I haven't heard your body cry for help like that in a while, so. Trying to exercise some for the
I'm just glad that I'm not. I pooped myself the other day because things were still a little loose from the.
That sucks.
Yeah, I'm glad that I can now fart and not also shit myself at the same time. It's kind of nice.
Well, I mean, it's been a while, I guess. We've all been there. Like, I don't know, man. Last night, kind of rough.
Yeah, shockingly, I never did that while... I don't think I did that while drinking. I've done it other times, but... Because there was one time I was out with the dogs for too long, and something just hit me while I was walking the dogs, and there wasn't a whole lot I could do about it. So
I fortunately never had that.
Yeah, so I was dead sober the last two times I've done it.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty rough.
So it's one way of looking at it. Wow. Holy shit, man. If Villanova actually hits more than 30% of their three-pointers, Michigan's going to get bombed. 5 of 20 shooting.
Oh, that is not that's good.
Brutal. They gave up 20 three-pointers? Like, guys, let's tighten the ship up. Damn.
Yeah, I don't. I have no idea what's... Notre Dame scored, like, well after the end of the third period, but for some reason, the referees are still debating it, and I have no clue why. Like, the guy shot the puck for the first time well before the zero... or well after the 0-0 mark hit, but for some reason, they're still talking about it. And the goalie even made a save, and then it went in again. Like, it was like 5 seconds after the end of the period. I don't know what's so confusing.
I've always wondered, in any sport, why a replay takes forever. I know you have to... All right, we need the clock. All right, someone tell you what the clock is. Where's it going to be set? Set it right here. Okay, thanks, guys. That's it.
Oh.
So they're like... football's the worst. But actually, I think college football is the worst for this. You see the play. The ball clearly hits the ground. You see the time marker. Okay. 4 minutes later, they're like, incomplete pass, reset the clock. I did that in 30 seconds. And then also, college football, like, they changed it this year at least. They used to have, like, my computer monitor, my laptop screen is bigger than the monitor they were looking at for replays.
Oh.
I'm like, don't you remember when we were in grade school, we had, like, you know, the big tube TVs, and they would wheel them down the cart, wheel them down the hallway for, like, video day or whatever? Yeah. Can't they get a big-ass TV like that for these replays? Like, what's the holdup? A tablet would be bigger than these TVs.
Yeah. I don't know why they use such small tablets, honestly, for that type of stuff. It's kind of... I am glad. I do feel like most of the pro sports now have some type of pre-preview.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like...
They're always watching them.
Yeah. So, because I know they do it for sure in the NHL, where it's not really necessarily in control of the people at the arena. And I'm pretty sure they've started to at least queue up the tapes in the NFL so that they can give the referee a pretty quick run of it. So it's gotten better. It still sometimes drags. And yeah, this is another one where there's nothing to do here other than figure out the amount of power play time left, but that's a whopping 26 seconds. So Notre Dame gets to have a power play in overtime for 26 seconds.
Yeah, I always thought, like especially for, for wrestling, and I understand, you got to have cheating.
Oh.
That sort of stuff.
Yeah, it kind of ruins the art form without the, quote, legal cheating, basically.
I kind of see it a different way. I always thought it would be cool if they did use replay, and I got this. I've had this idea forever. I don't think I've ever shared it. But it was way back, Kurt Hennig and not Larry Zbyszko, Nick Bockwinkel. It was in the Cow Palace where Kurt Hennig finally beat Nick Bockwinkel for the AWA title. But it was like a double turn of sorts because Zbyszko slid like a roll of quarters, goddamn, I love wrestling, slid a roll of quarters as a weapon. But Henning put it in his shorts and put it in the front of his shorts, so you can't really tell it was there. Get what I mean?
Yeah.
So they actually had the AWA board of directors reviewing the tape because they didn't want a championship to end that way because, he would have been disqualified, and they couldn't prove it. So it was like, it seems clear as day, but there's no proof. Kind of like when Dusty Rhodes was the Midnight Rider.
Right.
But without with the mask on, it still could be anybody impersonating him. But I always thought that was cool. And, I always wanted wrestling to use that. Not to hinder stuff, but make stuff a little more creative. And then I also had the rule that, all right, if you hit someone with a chair, all right, you would have been, the pin doesn't count. But if you do a move after that, well, you can't say the chair would have knocked him out because your finishing move did. So that'd be a way to get around it. Kind of stupid, but it's wrestling, so it's,
Well, they usually do something else after the cheat, though, I would say.
I mean, not always. I mean, people get hit with a chair or get, the ring. Famously right now is MJF's, I want to call it Battle Bowl. That's AWA stuff, but.
Yeah, the Dynamite Diamond Ring or whatever it is.
Yeah. So I always thought it could have led to a little more clever finish, or more of a sporting ending to stuff.
Oh, yeah. No one.
I'm not talking about error stuff, but trunks, pulling the trunks. If you have to creatively figure out how to position your body so that the cameras can't see what you're doing. Just stuff like that. That's all.
Yeah, it would be fun. I think it would help, but no one's really leaned into that. It's not like AEW is exactly knocking down the door to cut out a trope like that.
You're exactly right. Yeah, no, I mean, it never went anywhere. I'm trying to think of
but that is cool. That's a fun example. I guess I don't really remember that, but that's it. That is a creative way to use replay and to get some work out of it.
Yeah, I was just all right. And then I think AWA I think Kurt Hennig lost it pretty quick after that because this is how far behind it was on ESPN. AWA was on ESPN. Well, I went to
Nashville
Coliseum in Cleveland, and Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, was on the card. I was like, what? How? He's the AWA champion, and he came out as Mr. Perfect. I'm like, okay. And a few weeks later, he lost the title. I don't even remember to who.
Boy, I can't believe Vince.
Although that
kept
did lead to a fun match between Bockwinkel and Zbyszko, where Bockwinkel clearly hits Zbyszko in the face with a roll of quarters because it busts open. And all the quarters, some quarters fall out. The referee's like, did you hit him with this? And Bockwinkel looks at the referee and goes, yes, I did. And then he starts pouring the quarters out. And the referee goes, well, I didn't see it. And allowed the pin. Zbyszko. So it's like, all right, that's kind of cool, too. Because I think Zbyszko was leaving for WCW or whatever it was back then.
Oh, so, yeah.
Didn't matter. And then pretty soon, AWA was gone. So, Lawler had the title. That's right. He beat Kurt Hennig. That was huge. If Jerry Lawler doesn't beat Kurt Hennig, he retires. So,
oh,
that's right. The timeline came back to me.
Yeah, we can't remember plans for Dallas, but you know, the old trusty memory works for AWA material.
Dude, I love that stuff. That is, as a kid, it gripped you. You know, it just gripped you. It was great, but I'm sure it doesn't hold up. Like the Lawler win does, although it's kind of weak. It was like a roll up or something, but. And then he fought Kerry Von Erich to unify the USWA, I think it was. Or World Class. Maybe it was World Class and AWA titles. It's because Kerry was on the way out, too.
Yeah, everyone getting out of their territory.
And yeah, then, all the closing territories, yeah. But yeah, man, that afternoon wrestling stuff, that's why it used to be that Global UWF was on, I think, or Global Wrestling, some other one that was always on right after school on ESPN, and it was great. So my friend's like, "Hey, we're playing football." I was like, "I'll be out when it's over." What? Let's go. So.
Yeah, I don't think I watched it that faithfully. I know that I did watch it some.
Oh, dude, when they would go to, like, repeats sometimes, I'd be like, wait, this was yesterday's. Oh. It was on every day. It was great. Just great. So, not like today, where it's just the exact same every time. Different episodes, same shit. So.
Yeah, well, there's only so many ways to reinvent the wheel, you know?
Well, I understand that, but you can also make it a little more interesting. So, I have to admit, as dumb as the Seth Rollins stuff is, because it's really dumb.
Oh.
I had a good time watching him melt down Monday. That was a lot of fun. You know?
Yeah, I really liked this incarnation. It's been for a while now. This incarnation of Seth Rollins has been a lot of fun. You know, and he's really...
You can tell he's hamming it up, too.
Yeah. Like, he's definitely had way more character work than... he's always been that guy. It's just like, oh, yeah, he's such a great wrestler. And he kind of relied on that. But, yeah, the recent stuff has definitely been all almost all character work and still delivering in the ring when he's in there.
I mean, I didn't listen to you and Chris, but did you guys talk about how dumb this whole thing is with him? Like, as established on the show today, or on the show Monday, how dumb this whole thing is with him?
Just in general, this is the thing that we've talked about, and it applied to him. The WWE has really pushed this narrative a lot recently about people not being on the WrestleMania card. It's just like, you guys went from, you know, like a 4-hour show when we went to, you know, WrestleMania 23 in Detroit to that god awful, I don't know, what was it, like 16-hour show in Dallas?
Oh, God.
Or was it like 24?
It was 7 hours, right? I mean, legit.
Yeah.
That was 7 hours.
I think it was 7 or 8, honestly. Because we left around midnight, or past midnight?
Maybe.
And we started at time zone.
It would have to be 11, because it was central. So.
No, we started an hour early and still got out at midnight.
Jesus Christ, we did, didn't we? Oh, my God.
It was a long ass time, man. Yeah, so it was more like 7 or 8, something in that area for that WrestleMania. Oh, I guess I could maybe pull that up. I need to. But anyway, and now we're having the most stupendous 2-night WrestleMania. And you're somehow trying to sell me on the fact that you're not going to make it onto the card. Like, it's really hard to bite on that, to say the least.
Right, and there, okay, there is that aspect, but I think you're missing out on the bigger part. Seth Rollins can't get a path to WrestleMania to get a match on WrestleMania, right? As of that Monday, Amos, didn't have a match. No one even thought he was going to be on WrestleMania, right? He comes out and goes, none of you bitches can beat me, so come challenge me at WrestleMania, I'll be there. And now he has a match. What? That's all it takes?
Yeah, he was being featured too much.
Oh, I can't get a match. Amos just goes, I want a match. I'm gonna someone show up. I'll be there. they were talking about how you can't just force yourself into a match, which is exactly what Natalia and why do I always forget her first name? Shayna Baszler.
Oh.
They just barge into a match, beat people up, and they're added to the tag team match. Yeah, you can just get in there. Stupid. But it's still kind of entertaining. He's making it entertaining, at least.
So, this has been the funniest I'm not getting on the WrestleMania card that they've done. Because, you don't get that. It's another one where it's just I guess maybe the kids might not get it. But A, you know most of your crowd isn't kids at this point. Or at least they're kind of a minority. Seth Rollins would not be getting this TV time if he weren't going to be at WrestleMania. Simple.
If you're looking at it as a kid watching it, you're oh my God, Seth Rollins isn't going to be on there, which is a bad guy, so why would the kids care? First off, kids are impressionable, you know? I don't think there's a whole lot of 8-year-olds that are watching it. And that's who they're writing for, even though I agree with you, yeah, they're not watching this shit. So the rest of us are just sitting there going, okay, well, there's Seth doing his thing.
Oh my gosh. It's just lazy. I'm not seeing a time necessarily for how long it was, but they're showing the match times here, and it's almost embarrassing how long we were there for how much wrestling we got.
That's one thing that's been brought up by other people is there's a 4-hour show, and there's only an hour and 30 minutes of actual wrestling. For some, I think it was that day one pay-per-view, maybe? Can't remember
exactly what it was. I'm surprised that the ratio is that bad. But yeah. Just knowing that we sat through this, because we get Kalisto versus Ryback, 9 minutes. Team Divas versus Team Bad and Blonde, 11:30. The Usos versus the Dudleys, 5 minutes. Zack Ryder. The ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship that Zack Ryder won, 15 minutes. Jericho AJ Styles, 17 minutes. Oh, dear God. The League of Nations was still around, taking on New Day, 10
I was
minutes.
Wearing my New Day shirt, so was the Belize. And. The League of Nations won.
You're bad luck. I got some bad news for you. King Barrett was in his throes then. Man, and this was just not a good card now that I'm looking at it too. Brock Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose. The one match within the past, since Brock's return, basically, that he in no way wanted to be involved with.
No, he did not. And Ambrose has actually even talked about it, because wasn't he getting ready to go to fight UFC again?
Maybe. But yeah, that's a 13-minute match. Charlotte versus Becky and Sasha, 16. Undertaker, Shane, Hell in a Cell, longest match of the evening, 30 minutes. And then Bear, oh, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal didn't even go a full 10 minutes. Dear God. The Rock technically had a match versus Eric Rowan, evidently. And then Roman Reigns versus Triple H, clocking in at 27 minutes. So there's an hour between the two big matches, and then like just over an hour with all the other matches, like maybe an hour and a half with the other matches combined. So I mean, there was maybe two and a half hours of act. I know that it's, you know, obviously WrestleMania is more of a spectacle, and you get these big grand entrances and all that fun stuff. But holy smokes, I guess I didn't realize that we sat there for 7 hours or so, and we only got two and a half hours of actual wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, like, the Hall of Fame stuff, people talking, entrances, all that crap, man. Just takes your time up.
Wow. Yeah. So. But anyway, yeah, Seth Rollins is definitely going to make it onto the card. The only thing that Chris and I were talking about was, and maybe you have a different perspective on this, is whether Cody Rhodes should show up this coming Monday or just park that debut for WrestleMania itself.
I'm torn. I don't know. It almost seems like you should promote it because the tickets aren't selling. I over two nights, they've sold more than they did when we went. But they've also taken on the costs of two different nights, too. So, do you test out to see if Cody's a needle mover? You know? Is Cody, like, a guy that's going to sell tickets? Is that going to get you people, you know, get asses in the seats? Or do you just go, who cares? We're just going to make another $50 billion from Saudi Arabia. We'll do what we want. So, here's Cody.
I prefer
him showing up at WrestleMania, to be completely honest.
And that's
my thing is, oh, go ahead.
That's what we came to, was him showing, like, it just, oh, yeah, like, everyone knows that it's coming, and this is something that Chris mentioned. The WWE would not have allowed Cody Chance to be that loud on TV if they didn't want them.
Right. That's exactly it.
And if they're going to do that without him there, you know, what's one more week, you know?
Yeah. But my thinking is, I still have the Hardy. Like, I know this is a much more, what's the word I'm looking for? I know that most people think Cody's showing up, or he is showing up, whatever, right? The Hardys were a much bigger surprise. But, dude, do you remember that pop when the Hardys came back? Was it 36? The one in Orlando?
Oh, yeah.
And that place has been insane? That's kind of what I'm hoping happens with Cody. Not because I'm a huge Cody fan, but just for something special, you know? So that'd be pretty cool to hold him off, and all of a sudden, the place goes crazy, you know?
Yeah, and maybe that's what they're hoping for, because, yeah, I'm with you. Like, I'm not that big. Like, it's kind of been impressive what Cody's done, I suppose, here. And being the one to leave AEW because the WWE is ready to pay him more money. I'm assuming.
Dude, I saw anywhere between $3 to $5 million a year he's getting. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, but since nothing gets disclosed, it's hard to, you know, kind of, say with any real accuracy. But, yeah, like, why else would he leave AEW? You know, and Tony Khan has kind of made it a point to talk about the budget. And the WWE, for as much as they've shed people, like, I guess I've found it kind of interesting, like, and this is something else Chris and I talked about, Are they going to go back, like that forklift incident with Brock and Roman Reigns, are they going to go back to more Attitude Era kind of like, you know, they don't need to destroy some expensive car every week, but are they going to do more of that stuff and put more like, put some of that money that they cut wrestlers with into production type stuff?
I wouldn't hold my breath. Like, seriously, I wouldn't think so. I think it's just, it's Brock. They're doing what they want.
Oh.
Because who else do they do that with?
That is a fair point.
I mean, the most production value they've given in a while was Alexa Bliss and her therapist. And, by the way, did she get left in Saudi Arabia? Like, they haven't done anything. Like, anything outside is the wrestlers doing it themselves. Like, Sami Zayn showing up at the Jackass premiere.
Oh, they didn't book that?
I don't know if they did or not, but still. It's like, okay. It seems like a no-brainer.
Oh,
but when it comes to like, producing stuff, like, nothing. There's just nothing. I mean, it's always in the ring. It's always backstage. But there's very rare... NXT is actually doing that more than WWE is. That whole thing with MSK going to find the shaman or whatever.
Oh.
You know, to put it... Like, just one off the top of my head.
Right.
So... And by the way, real quick on NXT. You talked about... Gunther and poor Duke Hudson, right?
Oh, no, because I had not watched. We did not talk any NXT or AEW here. So,
okay, well, the hell with Raw and Cody, then. I want to talk about this specifically. I don't care about the rest of NXT. It's not often. Well,
you don't even care about Gigi Dolin?
She was barely on this week.
Yeah.
But, I mean, of course. Come on. Here we go. So. It's very rare that Gunther has been in the ring with someone his size or possibly bigger.
Oh.
He beat the hell out of Duke Hudson. He bruised that man's shoulder blade. Or deltoid? Is that where the shoulder, the arm connects? Is that deltoid?
Oh.
That muscle there?
Sure. I don't know.
That thing started bruising. I mean... Holy shit!
Yeah, I do think that matchup kind of... Gunther has definitely put on some muscle, let's say. He was a big guy, but they're like, hey, if you're going to live over here, can you hit the gym every now and again? And
he's trimmed up, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and just... Yeah, I had only seen a handful of his matches before this, and yeah, that was the first one outside of the Dragunov match that I really feel like he was really laying some stuff in. And yeah, poor Duke Hudson.
Dude, that first one, I was looking at something. I looked up like, oh my god. Are you kidding? And then, like, Duke starts making a comeback. I'm like, oh, come on. And Gunther just goes, nah. And just blasts him over and over again. And then power bombs him and pins him. Like, I've had enough of your shit. That was awesome. Why the hell Gunther is being wasted on an NXT when he should be up there fighting Roman Reigns, which, by the way, would never allow this to happen. There's no chance. So it wouldn't be as good. So maybe I'm talking myself out of it. But
man, that would be a match if it happened. And yeah, you're right. Like Gunther is definitely on the list of why is he in NXT? Like,
yeah.
This guy,
him and Imperium, they should not be there.
Yeah, they're all finished products at this point.
See, this is also why I hate basketball. I can't stand stuff. I'm watching the Villanova-Michigan game. The Villanova guy jumps all over the back of the Michigan guy, hurts him, knocks him out of the game. There's no foul called. The very next play, Villanova, who still gets the ball, the guy goes to the basket for a layup, barely gets touched, and they call the foul. Basketball's trash. It's just not good. I don't know if it's the officials that do it or the players whining. One of the two. It's unwatchable.
It's been kind of interesting. I feel like people have done a better job of explaining what the fouls are exactly. But considering the level of what it takes to commit a foul in pretty much every other major sport, even including baseball, it just does not seem egregious.
No. If you could say, like, oh, well, that's what they called, I'd be like, where? And then you see something blatant, and you go, well, shouldn't they call that? No, they just missed it. Well, they seem to miss those a lot.
Oh.
They don't miss those ticky-tack ones very often.
Yeah. Like, my Twitter feed is
basketball, dude.
Unwatchable during basketball season because of people complaining about basketball refereeing. It's just like...
Oh, and by the way, this...
No.
Go ahead.
No, I that's part... I'm like, I don't care. Like, you're going to... If the referees are that bad, there are going to be some bad calls that go your direction. Like, that's all that there is to it.
Yeah. Oh, no, and I know, like, I'm just watching this game because I obviously ruining interest. But just looking at it going, ugh. Because I've seen it in other games, too. There was one, it was the Iowa, it was in the first round. The Iowa guy, they smacks him on the arm for a three-pointer. The ball ends up going 3 feet short of the rim because of it. And the referee's got his thumb on his fucking nose. They run down the other end of the court, guy barely gets touched, and they call a foul. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, ugh. Yeah, it's unwatchable to me now. And I really used to love watching it, too. But
yeah, it's kind of funny. The wife has gotten into it because the father-in-law is into it. So I've watched a lot more college ball here the last couple of years. Which I hadn't done for quite some time. And in all sports update here, Notre Dame ended up scoring on a separate power play in overtime to win that part of the Albany regional. So UMass, Lowell, and Denver now in a different regional. So keeping up with the college sports here. Gunther and Duke Hudson was that was a for being such a short match, that was a ball.
Yeah, and they gave you just enough of a scare because you don't trust WWE or NXT at all to think they're actually going to drop Gunther out to this guy. And no, totally unfounded. So that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of interested. I'm like, hold on, are they going to put Duke Hudson over here just because he's in love with, oh man, whatever trash name, what's it, Wade Barrett came up with. I like Wade Barrett for the most part as an announcer. Whatever name he came up with them is him, was it Duja? For him, Duke Hudson in Persia. And I'm just like, no, just no, no, this is a terrible idea, Wade. Just please help him out, Vic. But Vic didn't give him a line to get out of that.
No.
So yeah, for a second there, I thought, "Ooh, are they gonna do that?" But yeah, Duke Hudson was definitely on the receiving end of an ass kicking. So
I didn't realize how big Duke Hudson was. I knew he was a tall dude, but he's big.
Like you said, like, because I haven't seen that many Gunther matches, I don't know how big he really is. He obviously towered over Ilya Dragunov. But what is he, like 6'3 or something of that nature, I would imagine?
I think Duke Hudson's like 6'5, 6'6. He's a tall dude.
Yeah. So yeah, it was pretty interesting to see him compete with 6'5".
Okay. The Gunther's, I think, 6'4", so...
Yeah, that's some that's pretty serious beef in the ring.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't understand what he's doing down there first. Well, he just agreed to come to America, so that's part of it. But then also, if you're looking around, and if you're Vince or any of these guys, you look at him and go, okay, we got to get him up here. Yeah, he's stiff and whatever else, but the promos work when they need to. And it's like, okay, put him against someone dynamic, and that's what happens. He can flourish even though he's stiff. Like,
if that's his only downside, that he's stiff, then that isn't really much of a downside, honestly. Because some poor schlub's going to have to put up with a beating before we even get to that Roman Reigns type of stage. And you know that, I mean, we talked about Seth earlier. Seth's going to be up for that kind of a match. You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure there's probably going to be plenty of those guys.
Yeah.
I think.
I would think so. And I'm trying to think of who the other big guys are that he'd be able to... Just like
Drew, Sheamus.
Oh,
yeah. Sheamus for sure. Sheamus would just love that, I'm sure.
Is
Brock probably?
Oh.
I mean, Brock. Big E. Big E is a shorter, but he's still a big dude.
So yeah, he's massive.
There's plenty of guys. So.
Depending upon
even Edge. I don't know if Edge wants to go through that. I don't know about AJ. I mean, I don't get in like smaller guys, but I'm also getting to like the bigger names too.
Oh,
so like, you know, there's Amos, Commander Aziz.
Oh well, we know that Commander Aziz is taking that L when Gunther gets called up, 100%. I mean, if you're not allowed to even come close to sniffing a win against Omos when you're in a 2-on-1 situation. Oh, man, that's, oof. I kind of feel bad for Commander Aziz.
Well, I wouldn't be answering my phone after WrestleMania's over if I'm either one of them. I'm not even being mean about it. I think that writing is very loudly and clearly on the wall. I mean, just for that reason. They haven't done anything with them since moving them to Raw except lose. So
yeah, you know. Apollo Crews got the reboot, got a little bit of a push out of it, and then it died.
I mean, he beat Big E at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental title, US title. Intercontinental title, yeah. So it's like they seemed like they had something for him, and he had that feud with Big E, and I went nowhere really. And then I don't remember who did he lose that title to. Did we get Shinsuke Nakamura?
He might have lost it back to Big E.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's in the category of I don't feel like looking it up. Because I don't care.
No, I don't either. Yeah, there's no point. But yeah, so it's just like those two guys. I don't know. If they want to get younger, supposedly there's plenty of other guys they can get rid of. So, but I don't like talking about that. To be honest, I mean, the jobs are gonna start drying up unless they start going to Ring of Honor. They have to rebuild that somehow. So and I keep saying if. Damn, NWA would get an investor.
Oh.
Whatever. So, but yeah, but really NXT, though, to try and go back to keep it straight somehow. That show, like, I hate Wendy Chu. I hate her. I hate that pillow bullshit. I just hate it. I think I say this every week, and I haven't changed at all. I hate it. It's so dumb. And then she's so clumsy with those goofy slipper shoes. She damn well kill herself or her opponent.
Oh,
she almost lost it on the ropes this week.
Oh, I guess I haven't noticed that much of a problem. So.
This week was the first time I really noticed. But she's just clunky in those shoes, man.
I don't think there's any way around that. When you're wearing a onesie, there's just... I don't think you're going to be able to get the grip on that that you want, you know, on the feet.
No.
No matter how many, well, like, little spiky things or something.
Well, it's one of those things where they cut the bottom off, so she's wearing shoes. But it's still, like, you're still getting cloth underneath and whatever else. So it's like, whatever. I just hate her. I want her to go back to the 1,000-year-old woman gimmick who sat there. That was so much better.
Well, it wasn't better, but it was whatever. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the sleeping thing. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Honestly, it's just like, but you're wrestling. Like, why do you want to go to sleep? Why? Okay. Sure.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess that was the main event. That was one of the few other things, I guess, when I was buzzing through this review of NXT. They're building up for Stand and Deliver, too. And it's still weird. Well, no, let's concentrate on the ladies here. It was a little bit strange to me, to say the least, that Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray decided to, I guess, have a match with Mandy Rose at Stand and Deliver, along with Cora Jade.
Yeah, I was confused by that. I was like, what? Like, how can you just do that?
Yeah, I'm not sure how the wording is for the Dusty Cup Championship. You know, if it's vague enough that you're allowed to do something like that. But the announcers bought into it like it was a thing. Mandy Rose bought into it like it was a thing. So you feel like it's going to be a thing. You know, like everyone reacted like it was gospel and that it was okay. So,
well, except Gigi Dolin and JCJ were like, wait, what? Like, we wanted to fight.
Yeah, they're like, what the hell are we going to do at Stand and Deliver now? Like, we thought we had
to take over Stand and Deliver. Oh. Dumb shit like that.
Yeah, if that happens on next week's NXT, that's going to be bad. So, I mean, that was one of the few interesting things. I mean, I guess I wasn't really buying the Cora. They've done about all they could to build up the Cora Jade versus Mandy Rose thing, but it's one of those ones that, I guess if you want to build Cora Jade up to that point, fine. And it's weird because they have been building her up since, what, it was Halloween Havoc that they did the, or something around that time when they did the War Games match. And Cora Jade ends up, you know, she gets the big spot and she gets the final pin. So they've been behind her for a while. But I guess maybe because she did this little side trip with Raquel Gonzalez as a tag team wrestler, like it seemed like an odd fit for her to be going after a singles championship, I suppose. To me, like that part's been hard for me to buy into. And plus, she's still, I mean, if she hung out with Darby Allin at some juncture, I suppose she actually knows about skateboarding, but whew, man, she just always strikes me as something that back in the day I would have called a poser. You know?
I'm still on the poser thing, so.
Just, if nothing else, it's another one of those ones that she could really be into it, but it just does not feel like it comes across genuine on TV. You know?
Yeah.
And I guess maybe that's, the better way to word it. So, yeah, I guess I do. So, in one regard, I feel like that match needed some juice. Because I wasn't thinking, oh, yeah, this is Cora Jade's time to beat Mandy Rose. Also, though, just adding Io and Kaylee Ray at the last minute isn't really going to do anything for anyone. Like, I guess Mandy Rose, if she wins, can brag about beating all three of them at once?
Well, but if she does, then what's left for her?
That's a good question. Yeah, there really isn't much left. I think we talked about it a little bit. Would she be on the list for call-ups? Do you think the mass call-up after WrestleMania here? Mandy Rose, that is?
I can't. I mean, she was already there, and they sent her back down, so.
Well, and I don't feel like. They've had her do a few more promos, but I also don't feel like they've, like, really kind of given her the ball to run with. You know, like, it's kind of weird to say that considering that Toxic Attraction has kind of been a mainstay. But she's also not cut a promo pretty much for the past month. Like, Cora Jade's attacked her a couple of times, and she's screamed a couple of times. But they've mostly been up in their booth doing a whole lot of nothing. Like, I guess I don't feel like there's been a whole lot. Mandy Rose has had that championship kind of for a while, but I also don't feel like they've had a lot behind her in the championship.
I'm trying to think. She beat Raquel Gonzalez, and that's it, right? Has there been anybody else?
There's got to have been another match. I mean, even if it was a TV match, there had to have been something else. Now that is something that I'm kind of interested in here. I don't know if Wiki will have her full match layout here. Yep, Toxic Attraction, Raquel Gonzalez. Whew, man, yeah, I don't know. Not really listening too much. Other than her beating Raquel. So, yeah, like, it's been kind of a weird reign, especially with as big of... I mean, obviously, they still have Io and Kaylee Ray, who, you know, again, are on that list of why are they still down there. And obviously... Yeah. Are we going to get Raquel next week saying she doesn't have a match at Stand and Deliver?
No, they wrote her out. She's hurt, remember?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a weird thing to write her out at this point.
I have to figure she's getting called up. I mean, there's literally nothing for her to do.
Or she's legitimately injured, one of the two.
That's true, too. I don't think so, but yeah.
Yeah.
Unless she comes down and costs core of the match. Like, you weasel, I get hurt, and you take my spot in the match. That sort of thing.
That'd just be piling weirdness on top of weirdness. Them having their get-together segments only to have a turn happen. Less than a month later.
Yeah, well.
I mean, it's happened before, so I wouldn't
What company are you watching?
Yeah. That's what I was just going to say. It's happened before, so I wouldn't be shocked, but it's also stupid still. So I will maintain a consistent opinion on that. AEW was... As much as I hate the announcers in AEW, for the most part, them having to say Daddy Magic half of the night was cracking me up.
Oh, yeah, those guys are fucking hilarious, dude.
2.0 brings some real entertainment to the table. But this was the week with AEW. I was just like, I can't handle watching their tag team matches at all. And like, almost every match was a tag team match this week, and none of them had rules. And it was, except for some reason, Dax Harwood was in a singles match because reasons. And he took CM Punk to the limit. Huh? Like,
yeah.
Why is this happening? Especially with the Gun Club at ringside distracting them, and it seems like they're going to be in a feud. Shouldn't this be a short match that the Gun Club costs Dax Harwood a win, even if it is just from kind of simple trash talk?
Well, I know they're trying to establish FTR as trying to be faces now, like a slow face turn. So I guess because it was competitive and there was respect and all that, and that's why, I don't know.
Oh,
man. I didn't expect it to go that long, but then it's like they don't want. I guess they don't. They want to protect FTR by having like a decently long match. You know.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. Protect FTR, who. Again, like, if you're trying to tell me that FTR is that much better off in AEW than they were in WWE, I politely disagree with your opinion. They had a championship reign in the WWE, probably longer than the one they had in AEW. If they're happier there,
I don't know about that.
If they're happier there, good for them. You know, like, obviously they felt like there's a disconnect between them and how, you know, main roster WWE wanted to present them. So I'm not really expecting them to go back. But whew, man. That tag team division, for as many tag teams as they have, it's just been a mess. Like, I have no idea what the pecking order is in that tag team division.
Dude, they just said Alex Reynolds and John Silver were the number one tag team last night.
Oh, I missed that part.
And I went, well, what? Why wouldn't it be Red Dragon or the Bucks? Or
FTR?
Maybe. Yeah, especially the AAA tag champs again. Like, or how about Malakai Black and Brody King, since no one beats them? You know, it's just crazy to me.
But yeah.
You have to ignore that. You have to ignore it and just go, like, okay. So, whatever. But, yeah, that show was weird last night. The MJF stuff, that was, I liked it. I'm surprised, I mean, dead serious, that there isn't some sort of backlash or whatever, outrage, whatever you want to call it, about him talking about if he wants to put Wardlow on a cross like Jesus. My head was like, what did he just say? Because you usually steer away from that stuff. You don't bring up that sort of thing, religion, whatever else. In wrestling, it's never really gone over very well. And I know he's a bad guy, but I was pretty surprised. And that's me saying that. Like, he's trying to get fired? Or not fired, but I was like, are you trying to get this company in trouble? Like, I mean, it is on TNT. It is on TBS, for God's sake. So, that was weird. I like the angle, though. So.
Why did I just brain cramp on what the angle was?
Okay, so he comes out and he starts calling Wardlow pig.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I'm going to sit you at home and pay you until you go away to obscurity.
I guess that sits in the I don't care for it category, because it's just like he wouldn't be on TV if he weren't an AEW employee. Just. It's kind of that easy. Like, who else is just employed by, like, is Alex Abrahantes just employed by Penta at this point? And he could be just fired from the show, I suppose? Like, I know how companies work, guys. Like, this is, to me, it's stupid, I guess. The days of the Million Dollar Man kind of punking out Virgil to me are gone, and this is what that feels like to me.
Okay. Now, I'll go with you on that, but this angle would make more sense. All right, I would go along with an angle like this if Wardlow wasn't there last night. Because if MJF was going to sit him at home and all this stuff, why was Wardlow backstage? It doesn't make any sense. He didn't just show up because if he's not an AEW employee, then he shouldn't have been there, you know?
Yes. That's actually a better argument for my argument than my own argument.
Yeah. So it's like, okay. I mean, you know, whatever. It's still wrestling. It's still stupid. So.
Yes. Yeah, and what? I mean, we're going to get a Wardlow versus MJF match. It was needed at some point. The culmination kind of worked, you know, at the pay-per-view. In some ways, it still feels anticlimactic since Wardlow wasn't the one delivering any type of offense to MJF at any point. And it really wasn't a direct turn in a lot of ways. CM Punk very well could have just not picked up the ring.
And you know, it's just how it works.
Yeah.
So. But like that stuff, I'm like, whatever. I was just more surprised at the language choice and all that. That, you know, I'm obviously not a prude. But I just thought for, like, their own sake, to avoid problems with network or whatever else, that line was allowed. So,
they definitely seemed to have a little more leeway. Because that was another one where it's just, like, the wife's like, what are they saying? Because I think it was just the crowd, and I'm just like, they get away with more here. And she's like, oh, well, yeah. Absolutely. She's like, I forgot which one we were watching.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like, that would never go in WWE. Not now.
No
chance.
Well, I mean, WWE has opened up a little bit because there was actually blood involved in recently. And I'm trying to think of where it was.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns there. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to get that loose. You know, it is loose as AEW as far as the rules go. So, there's definitely a dividing line between the two companies and how they're presented and what they can get away with. For sure.
And it's really, I think AEW gets away with a lot more, and I don't mean like language and content. They're given so much leeway by people still. Like, the AEW fans give them a ridiculous amount of leeway. To where if this goofy stuff happened with WWE, they would be bashing on it.
Oh.
Like, the AEW fans would be bashing on that, the WWE fans would be bashing on AEW. And my example is what I brought up for the last 3 weeks and texted you about last night. Sting fucking sucks. I'm sorry, it's awful. Can we please stop?
There's nothing to be sorry about. That was just...
I see people think this is great.
Oh,
I see people defending this.
I guess I did forget that. Didn't we get a "This is awesome" chant pretty much as soon as that happened? And it's just like, I'm just sitting. Well, Sting comes out to the ring or to the ramp first, and he just stood there. Just stood there. Like, just did nothing. Didn't scream to the crowd. Didn't, you know, gesture anything. He just stood there. Like, he didn't even give, like, Darby Allin a point or anything when he was coming out for his entrance. That's just bad presentation. And, yeah, them allowing Sting to just... And I was just like, oh my God, Sting's gonna kill himself. Like, he got up onto the ropes, and I just legitimately thought he was gonna kill himself, and then he does the dive, and it's just like, guys, like, okay, you gave him the spot at the pay-per-view. Cool, we get to have 72-year-old Sting diving off of the balcony. Great. We know it's a safe spot. Oh my God. Yeah, and there were so many I forgot about that. They said that at the beginning of the show during that Dax Harwood CM Punk match. They're like, "Oh, how's everyone going to top this tonight?" And then everyone tried to proceed to top it. In each succeeding match, getting more and more ridiculous. And that's another AEW problem. It's just there's an always one-upsmanship in there, and it's just because you get the Sting dive this week, and then you get the Jeff Hardy dive out in the concourse. And, well, I mean, what else is there to say about Sting? Like, I'm with you. Like, I don't ever need to see Sting again. I mean, we've been talking about all those old guys need to be gone from AEW. Sting, well, yeah. Luckily Tully's gone for now. Well, because Lance Archer is gone again, we haven't seen Jake Roberts again, but Jake Roberts needs to stay gone. Arn Anderson can stay gone.
And it's like, did we really need Vicky Guerrero to come back? I mean, I know they've been doing the stuff on Dark, but it's just like, this isn't fun. Like, she comes out, hey, I don't obviously dislike the woman, but it's like, okay, enough. Like, Nyla Rose can talk for herself. We don't need Vicky doing stuff from 10 years ago.
Oh, well, and her just being her own racist self on TV as part of an angle is... it's something.
Wait, what did I miss? What are you talking about?
Oh, her calling... Thunder Rosa is illegal, and she's taking Americans' jobs.
I missed all of that. Really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Are we going back to 5 years ago? I thought we were past this.
Nope. That if it didn't happen on Dynamite, it happened on Rampage. No, because Thunder Rosa won on Dynamite last week. So it still might have taken place on Rampage, but yeah, the fact that she hates people of her own race is just, I don't need to see that on TV.
I honestly totally missed that. Sorry, yeah. I really have. Just you saying that, I'm just kind of like, what?
Yeah. but they said it on TV. Like, it definitely was an angle on TV. But, and you're right, like, Nyla Rose doesn't need a mouthpiece. Nyla Rose hasn't been better off with her unless AEW considers being on AEW After Dark Breakfast Lunch Pita, you know, is better than being on, you know, cable TV. Nyla Rose is, I will say that I was kind of wondering where Thunder Rosa could go after this Britt Baker thing, and not that I think that Nyla Rose is going to beat her, but Nyla Rose is in that weird, like, I'm Big Show 10 years into my career where I can't do anything now, because I'm too big for the rest of the division. So I've just got to sit on the sidelines until there's a new champion. Then I'll come in and lose to the champion because I'm going to look like a big threat, and they need something in the meantime to build up another challenger.
Yeah, and it's like, has Nyla Rose faced Jade Cargill at all? I don't remember.
She faced her in the TBS tournament, maybe? That's the only time I could think of her facing her. Because it's not ringing a bell for me currently. But I'm also not sure. As much as I think Jade Cargill has improved in the ring during her title reign, I don't know. I mean, I guess, do you want to have that match? Do you trust everyone, both parties involved in that match?
Can you trust Nyla Rose, like, to carry that? Because she's, like, who's the heel in it, I guess? I guess that'll be the first thing.
Oh.
So we have heel versus heel? So, like, who calls it? It would have to be Nyla, so hopefully she can get her through. But it also goes against my rule for Nyla, for Jay Cargill. It's like, her matches should be short right now. And Nyla Rose one should be the one that, like, they save. You know? And make her be the Diamond Dallas Page of, you know, Jade's Bill Goldberg run she's got going on. That's how I look at it.
Gotcha. But yeah,
the AEW women's division is still a mess. You can only do one or two at a time, it seems. Like, I know they have their feuds for Rampage, but, like, Britt Baker, okay, she's not on, obviously not going to be on this week. Thunder Rosa comes out, barely gets to talk, and Nyla Rose comes out. I'm sorry, Vicky Guerrero comes out, then Nyla Rose. Then we got Red Velvet and Layla Hirsch. Oh, God. Why? That's a Rampage feud you moved over to Dynamite for no reason, and those two shouldn't be on TV. Put them on Dark for a while. I mean, that match was not good. By any stretch of imagination, that match was not good.
There's
no way.
I didn't pay that much attention to it, but they need something, I guess. I guess I felt like Red Velvet was okay when I saw her. She was in Impact for a while, correct?
No, you're thinking of Kira Hogan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. Layla Hirsch just seemed to have some good matches with some of the other wrestlers. And that's one that I know that she has a legitimate background. And, yeah, her size to me is just, it's a problem for me for whatever reason. It's a hurdle that I can't really get over.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, she has to have dwarfism, right? Because they said that she's like, and I'm going to say it the way it is. They said because of her issues or problems as a child, she was abandoned and this, she was raised in an orphanage, all this stuff. And it's all like, you see how short she is? Her body type kind of lends itself to that. So yeah. I'm guessing that's what they're implying. So I'm not saying she's not athletic. I'm not saying she's not legit, but it doesn't work yet. Like, I don't remember ever seeing a match of hers that was good. I'm not being mean about it. I just don't remember one. So,
I suppose for me, like, on an upside, I don't remember one being terrible. but I guess that also doesn't necessarily mean that she should be on Dynamite consistently. Is mostly the second match.
There's other women's matches. I do not believe she should be the other one.
And I will say this is something of a banner week to get two women's segments on the show. Is about as high praise as you can get from AEW. You know, I don't think we're gonna get an all women's Dynamite ever. Well, I shouldn't. Evers way too long, but no time soon.
What a nightmare that show would be. And oof, no. Oh my God. That'd be painful. That'd be really bad. So that's about as nice as I can put it. It'd be bad. I'm trying to think if I should back off of that or not.
Oh, okay, yeah. That the Vicky stuff must have happened on the Vicky Thunder Rosa stuff had to have happened on Rampage, because she was out. Oh no, I'm seeing Guevara. Not Guerrero. I'm misreading. The Sammy Guevara Tay Conti stuff. Well, actually, I guess if you include Tay Conti, they technically had three women's segments this week on AEW. That might be a high water mark for them.
Wait, say it again. You broke up on me.
Oh, Tay Conti was on too. The three women's segment AEW Dynamite might be a high watermark.
Yeah, that's true. I'm trying to think of any other times, but yeah, no.
It's been pretty few and far between. Yeah, especially as soon as you take out what Britt Baker, it gets kind of tough. Because I feel like they were still trying to bring Hikaru Shida back, but I don't feel like she had any presence on this show. I mean, we talk about it a lot. You know that there are going to be some people that miss out from week to week.
Oh, of course, and the males do that too. But the Shida stuff has been relegated to Rampage now, because that's where Serena Deeb is.
Uh-oh.
So... And I get why they're doing that, because they're trying to get you to put stars. That's why Keith Lee's over there. That's why they've moved, like, Swerve is over there as well. So it was, like, Taz and his kid, and Ricky Starks, Hobbs, all that. They're trying to make the Rampage crew and the...
the Dynamite crew.
Which I don't mind, actually. I'd like to see some of the, like, I don't want them to be totally relegated over there so that we forget about them, though. You know?
Oh.
So, because, but, I don't know. I like the idea of it, but they got to figure out something. Especially with Ring of Honor coming back, or coming up, whatever. They got to do something. And coming up with different crews is a good idea, I think. And.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like Raw and SmackDown. Don't promise that they're just going to stick on one brand, because like you said, they kind of need some cross promotion to help out. And plus, like, I kind of felt bad for Keith Lee this past week. That's another one where just because I did a traditional DVR record on that, because I'm like, I'm not going to be up this late on a Friday night. I'm taping Rampage, and I'll watch it some other time. Did not have the Keith Lee match taped because it was on so late.
They did a giant disservice to everybody with that stuff. Like, they should have just not had Rampage, or had it on, I don't know, could they have done it Saturday? I don't know.
If nothing else, just go, hey, is it, oh yeah, because that's still on TNT. Hey, TNT, why don't you do, like, a post-game show for time remaining until the next time, you know, until midnight. And then just put it on midnight so that anyone that does DVR it just will actually get the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
That's the only other thing, like... What's really, you know, how much audience are you really going to lose in that half hour? Like, if you're that keen on staying up for Rampage, it's not going to make that much of a difference.
Yeah. Or have, like, an established replay time, Sunday at 10 in the morning, so everyone's DVR can be set. Because I missed the show.
Yeah.
It didn't record it. So... But no, like, that was... that was going to be a problem. That's why when they were moving on TNT, TBS is great. But, you know, they can say they're behind the product. But the thing is, the NBA gives them – the NBA and the NCAA, the cost of it alone, you know, they're just – justify putting them over your product.
Yeah, so. you well, I mean, just like, I mean, how many, and I don't know if we actually made them on Stunt Granny, but how many dog show jokes were there back in the day for the WWE?
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
But I can far more understand the NCAA tournament bumping wrestling than a dog show.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though I watch said dog show sometimes because there's some cute doggos on there, but
I have never once seen that thing. I find those things sad.
Yeah, I always feel bad for the boxers who have their ears cropped and their. I guess I'm used to the doc tail, but the cropped ears is just not cool, man. Bring back the floppy ears for the boxers.
I just don't like they're robots. Just let them be a dog. Like that's what the best videos are, the ones where they like the dog comes up and just starts taking a shit in the middle of the thing. And I'm like, that dog wins. It has no respect for this dumb garbage because it's a dog. Like, good. The juicier the shit, the better. Fucking white people bullshit. I don't even like saying stuff like that, but it is. If I saw a black person that like had a dog in a dog show, oh my god, like that just, I don't even know what that screams, but it screams something really foul to me. So,
oh man, yep, it's gotten to that part of the show.
Never. No.
Is there anything else to talk about AEW wise that we didn't really get to?
Jeff Hardy doing this stuff. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. We had a Jay. I laughed that we had a Jay Lethal sighting.
Okay, I am convinced he's not even there to wrestle that often. He's just there to be a trainer for these guys. But they've gotten so many people that don't need help, you know?
Like, everyone wants to train everyone there. Because, I mean, that's literally what John Moxley and Bryan Danielson are doing as a gimmick currently. And
yeah, true.
Jericho keeps on picking up new crews frequently here. I don't know who really needs the training, honestly. And Wheeler Yuta was already being trained by best friends to start with as he came into the company.
Which, by the way, like real quick on that, isn't that the most honest and like relatable thing? Like, he wants to be a wrestler. He wants to be surrounded by people who win. Like, isn't that, like, you don't want to, no one learns anything from being on the Detroit Tigers. Like, you want to, or the LA, or the Detroit Lions. You want to be on the LA Rams. You know? Winners. You don't learn anything from people who don't win. Like, sorry, because that just shows they don't know what it takes to win. Plain and simple. So, I'm like, he's like, yeah, I love these guys, whatever else, blah, 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 but I want to be the best professional wrestler. And I'm like, I'm with you. I get it, dude.
Yeah, because who, was it Trent that has a beef with him and always kind of had a beef with him? It's just like, dude, you've been out injured like the whole time Wheeler Yuta's been around. How did we know that you had a beef with him? I'm going to guess that it was on Medium Roast Latte, something, AEW Medium Roast Latte or whatever.
You're still going for those, huh?
it's just going to be a different name every time because I'm going to intentionally choose not to remember the name.
Yeah, but it's like as far as Trent goes, though, he's always been the asshole of the best friends.
Oh, really?
Like, Chuck's the slimy one.
Really?
Yeah, when they were like the best friends, yeah, Chuck was always a slimy. That's why he calls himself the Kentucky gentleman, because he's not. But Trent was the asshole of the two.
No.
So that's why he's like this. Yes, exactly. If you didn't know the backstory from like Ring of Honor, you'd have no idea.
I watched Ring of Honor and I didn't know the backstory.
Yeah. Yes.
So.
And then when he was a good guy, it was okay. Now he was a bad guy, it was fine. Then he started turning good, and he kind of went away from it. But now he's a bad guy. He's a good guy that's doing the asshole gimmick. Like, what? So, okie doke. Okay.
Yeah, it's not a good thing like for them, I guess, in general to me. Like, it's just kind of whatever, I suppose. You know?
The best friends are a weird one to me. Like, the group itself is just so many different strange people in the group. But then I just saw the best friends as Chuck and Trent.
Oh.
And they don't really do anything. So, I don't know.
Yeah, that definitely... Well, A, the injury didn't help, but B, it doesn't feel like they've done the best friends hugging thing, or that they've even been important since about year one of the company. And I mean, that's another thing. They've had like 2 years of being in the background at this point. Just like, you guys are a bunch of losers. Like, why would someone, you know, again, to go back to, I can understand he wants to win. Like, why would people want to be around you? Like, you guys aren't at the, you guys haven't been at the top of the tag team division in 2 years. Like, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, their claim to fame or biggest time was when they had that street fight with Santana and Ortiz.
And
then possibly Kip Sabian and Miro, but I think that was before that.
Oh.
I think.
Yeah, well.
Because that was when Statlander came back. So, yeah.
Yeah, Rip Rusev.
He just re-signed with him. So.
No.
I don't know. I don't know if he got hurt.
Good for him. Getting money to do nothing. 5 years. God bless.
I
wish I got paid to do nothing.
Yeah. Well, I do wonder for him if he's got bigger aspirations of being a wrestler. Like, just other stuff in general. So he can wrestle because he's got that cool-ass character, which, you know, is kind of the problem. He's got a really cool character that not around anymore. You know, he loses that one match, and that was it, right? So
yeah, like, he had some coming back or something like that promos, and then never came back. And I honestly don't remember the last time I've seen him on TV.
You're right. Because he had to basically like tell God off, right?
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, my God has forsaken me and all that stuff. And it's just like, okay, like, I guess I like the gimmick. It was definitely something... Like, that was one where you were talking about the MJF stuff earlier, maybe turning people off. Like, you could tell that he was unhinged, I guess, with his character and the way he was talking about it, and people wouldn't take the God talk. To me, they wouldn't take it the same way as the way MJF worded it. I liked it, like it, and it seemed, you know, again to talk, it seemed genuine out of him. Yeah, but yeah, God has forsaken me, and then just nothing, just absolutely nothing for months on end at this point. Okay, I mean,
I'm trying to think. Wait, did I hit mute?
No.
Okay, no, never mind. No, I was trying to think. Like, that really was it. Did he have a match with Danielson in the middle of that? and then go back to those, or no? Yeah, he just kind of disappeared, huh?
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe
like
we were supposed to get that from him.
This is like most of the time. I feel like AEW, for the most part, has done a better job of going, hey, someone's actually injured, so you're not going to see them for a while. Even if they slip it in since everyone's in a fucking group, you know, they slip it in when insert group here comes out.
Yeah.
But since he's not really in a group, it's just like he just disappeared.
Yeah, because he had nobody, right? Like,
got rid of Kip Sabian. It seemed like the way when he was building up those promos, it's just like, oh, okay, Lana's going to come over. And she's going to be his valet again. And everyone's going to love it because the band is back together. As far as I know, Lana hasn't signed. Not that she really adds. Obviously, she adds the presentation because, come on, man. If you're heterosexual, you know why. But yeah, like she's kind of in that Brandi Rhodes category where she's tried to make the wrestling thing work. It's not going to work. You know, I understand that you've tried hard and you've worked your ass off. I don't care. Like, you just don't seem like you're a natural at it.
No, and that's okay. I mean, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but at what point do you realize it? So.
I have no idea if she does realize it still or not. Just because she's gone, it's, you know, hard to say. And I feel like she's been pretty. Pretty quiet on that front.
Yeah, I don't even know what she's doing. Like, I Instagram nothing. I don't know. I guess we have to look. But yeah, like, she just kind of went belly up.
Yeah, because, you know? I mean, it's kind of weird where I even see, like, Paige tweets pop up every now and again. I know that she hasn't done anything on camera for God knows how long at this point. Probably 5 or 6 years, more years than I would probably want to admit. But yeah, I mean, I see her at least name out there sometimes, and Lana's name just not out there at all.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, was there a big clamoring for her though? You know, like I think people thought she got done wrong by WWE, but that was the extent of it. Like, okay, yeah, they treated her pretty shitty. They did some shitty stuff with it, but that was it. So.
They kept her around even though they had just fired her husband and gave her a weird, you're going to get put through a table every week gimmick by someone who notoriously hurts everyone.
Yeah. another one. At least we'll never see her again, so that's fine. So. Because I do not believe that she'll be making a comeback anytime soon, so.
Yeah, she doesn't seem like she wants to. Because that's another one where I know I've seen her name pop up for this, that, and the other thing. Even if it was, I was like, it's one of those, I don't understand the internet sometimes. Like, someone was badgering her about injuring people. And I'm like, she's been off TV for like a year now, guys. Like, why do you give that much of a shit that you're going to tweet at her about that? Like, really?
Because you can. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
You should know by now, you know, it doesn't matter. People are getting on people's cases for shit that happened 30 years ago. Like, how could you do this? I don't know. I was fucking 30. Like, leave me alone. Just dumb shit like that. So, yeah, like, people...
That is true.
That's also Twitter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's like, whatever. So, yeah, let's get out of here.
Okie doke. Belltime beer of the show, Rivertown Brewing. Rivertown with an E. There is an important difference. The one with the E at the end is from Export, Pennsylvania. The one with no E is from Cincinnati, Ohio. You know, weird enough, I think I'd have to lean towards the one without the E being better overall. But this New England IPA that I have from Rivertown with an E, single hop Sabro, it's pretty interesting. I'm not that familiar with the Sabro hops, but I do like this beer quite a bit. The can is quite fancy, and it looks like brewed with malted wheat and oats. So that's something that typically would go into, I would say, a stout. So it does give it a nice creaminess to it. Maybe not as tropical as most New England IPAs that I really, really like. But it's pretty doggone tasty. So if you happen to be in the Pittsburgh region, visit Rivertown with an E Brewing. They are quite good, even if I do, like the other one in Cincy better. So, any beers on your end, sir?
No, mine's a cider. I just did the blueberry crumble from Red Clay. I talked about it before on another show. It's still really good. You can't get it anymore. I just bought enough, so I still have some. So.
I keep on trying to figure out if I want to review your beers with you or just on other shows with other people.
Either way, I don't care.
I know that at this point, some of the Christmas beers are getting saved for a Christmas in July reading. Because I was trying to pick a beer for tonight, and I saw Wool Socks in there. And I'm like, nope. That one's waiting for July, so there are some that you sent me that are already ticketed for a specific time period.
Well, watch the ciders. They do go bad quicker than a beer does. So, you got to kind of watch some of them. Wool Socks, though, if it's still chilly enough, it should be all right.
Yeah, so. It's been chilly the whole time. Everything went into the beer fridge after I received it.
Well, no, I meant... temper like cool like weather-wise.
Gotcha. Yeah, so bell time beer of the show. I'm at DeFrango 11. That is Granny Maze. The brand is at Sun Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.